Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What's going on? Welcome back to the Nerd Level Podcast. My name is Jack. You can find me on Instagram at MLB Nerds and Twitter at MLB Nerds also now. I'm here with my co-host Ryan. You can find him on Twitter at Ryan Garcia ESM. James, you can find him on Twitter at James Valentinas. And Jackson, you can find him on Twitter at Jackson Bells 2. Make sure to go follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Deep Drive Pod. Today's podcast, we're doing our top 10 third baseman with some honorable mentions. And I've already posted these on both Twitter and Instagram. This is sort of where we give more detailed explanations and reasoning behind each ranking. I know a lot of you guys wanted to hear those, but if you were looking for that, this is the place to be. And let's get started here. I will read my list, then I'll let Ryan read his list, and I'll let James read his list, and then Jackson can do whatever he's going to do. All right. Honorable mention number one is going to be Chris Bryant. He's not in my top 10, but, you know, he's really good, obviously. He's almost there. And at number 11 on my list, and another honorable mention, is going to be Matt Chapman. He's really, really good, but I really couldn't put him in the top 10. He's just really good. He could end up being top three at the end of the year, for all we know. And it might be more conservative ranking to have Chapman here, but I'm going to have him, you know, right outside the top 10. Okay, getting started with the top 10. I'm going to have Justin Turner at 10, Nolan Arenado at 9, Austin Riley at 8, Josh Donaldson at 7, Yoan Moncada at 6, Rafael Devers at 5, Manny Machado at 4, Anthony Rendon at 3, Alex Bregman at 2, and Jose Ramirez at 1. Ryan, go ahead. Tell us your list.
All right, so my top 10. So I don't know if I have to. My internet sucks. Is my internet being bad right now?
It was bad for a second. Make sure you have honorable mentions as well.
Okay. So my honorable mentions, yes, I did not put Chris Bryant in my top 10. And I also, I did not leave off Matt Chapman. Instead, I left off Josh Donaldson. But I think Matt Chapman, Josh Donaldson, and like Justin Turner are all kind of the same kind of third baseman. You know what I mean? So same thing. I have Justin Turner at my 10th spot. I have Austin Riley at my 9th spot. I have Matt Chapman at my 8th spot. Yoan Moncada 7, Nolan Arenado 6, Rafael Devers is 5, Manny Machado is 4, Alex Bregman is 3, Anthony Rendon is 2,
and Jose Ramirez is 1.
No, right. Okay, yeah. So I missed a lot of that because he went really fast. So Turner at 10.
Should I just die again?
Turner at 10. Did you say Arenado at 9?
Me or Jack?
You. I don't care about Jack. I have Jack. You, Ryan.
You're Ryan. Say your list.
All right. I'll repeat it again. So I have Turner, Justin Turner at 10. Austin Riley, I have as my 9. Matt Chapman's my 8. Yoan Moncada is my 7. Nolan Arenado is my 6. Rafael Devers is my 5. Manny Machado my 4, Alex Bregman my 3, Rendon my 2, and Jose Ramirez my 1.
Okay, I'm only missing who you had at 6 with Arenado. Perfect.
Yes.
Okay. I'll read mine. That's crazy. Okay, hold on. We gotta leave someone off for some narrative ball. All right, I have as my honorable mentions. I'd like to give one to Josh Donaldson, Matt Chapman, and Jaime Candelaria, who has been quietly very good the last 2 years.
That's a good shout out. I like that.
123 WRC plus and 4.84 over the last 2 seasons. Pretty good. At 10, I have Chris Bryant. 9, I have Justin Turner. 8, I have Nolan Arenado. 7, I have Yoan Moncada. 6, I have Austin Riley. 5, I have Rafael Devers. 4, I have Anthony Rendon. 3, I have Machado. 2, I have Bregman. And 1, I have Ramirez. But you could switch Rendon and Machado for all I care. Jackson, would you like to read yours?
All right, yeah. My honorable mentions are Yoan Moncada and Josh Donaldson. So my top 10 is Justin Turner at 10, Austin Riley at 9, Chris Bryant at 8, Matt Chapman at 7, Nolan Arenado at 6, Devers at 5, Bregman at 4, Machado at 3, Rendon at 2, and Jose Ramirez at 1.
10 Machado at... Did you have Devers above Machado, is that what that was?
No.
Okay.
I had Machado above Bregman.
Oh, that's what that was. You have Machado at 3 and Bregman at 4.
Correct.
Okay, perfect. Now, for our cumulative list before we go over things, coming in at... Oh, what the fuck?
Pick it up, Jamie.
Trying to run spreadsheets on a fucking Chromebook. It's not really working for me.
Come on, James. You got to crunch those numbers, kid. I can call you kid. He's younger than me. And Jack. I'm the second oldest person on this podcast.
You're older than me.
Yes.
That's what he said.
I think Jack's the youngest.
I think I am.
Which is weird because he's a senior. Alright, so coming in at... Holy shit, that's a lot of ties. Coming in at 10, Justin Turner. At 9, Matt Chapman. 8, Austin Riley. 7, Yoan Moncada. 6, Nolan Arenado. 5, Rafael Devers. 4, Manny Machado. Rendon and Bregman are tied for 2 and 3. And then Ramirez.
Okay, I think these lists in general are very very similar. There are like a couple towards the back end, there's a couple differences, but I would say the general gist is very similar. I think the biggest disagreement here is Nolan Arenado and who else?
Well, I can tell you the biggest disagreement. It's
what is it?
Jack and I left Chapman off. Jackson left Moncada off.
Oh, Moncada was kind of bad.
Is Jack?
Yeah, Moncada's got to be top 10.
Jack had Arenado really low.
I had him at 9.
I had you had him at 10.
I'm at 9.
No, he had him at 9.
Did I copy your list off your Instagram?
Yes. Huh? I switched it
before. Oh, you switched it.
I don't see how you can justify
Arenado. Wait, so you had him at 9 and then Turner at. Does that mean Turner at 10?
Turner's at 10, yeah.
Okay, well, go ahead, Jack.
That doesn't change anything.
All right. So I think. When you group Nolan Arenado together with Matt Chapman, they have to be at least one or two spots apart. And that's how it was for me. So I think it's fair to have Arenado as high as like 6-ish and then put Chapman at 7. I don't think Arenado is as good of a hitter as Seymour says. I think he's largely carried by a bit of his 2019 performance. And I just think that he's just not, he's obviously a really good defender, but he definitely regressed a bit last season relative to prior years. And I also really like Austin Riley. His defense got a lot better last year, even though it's still kind of mid, depending on what you look at. And I think the top 5 guys you probably have to have there, like there's really no argument for those top 5 out of the top 5. And then Moncada is the guy. What? All right, well,
I think you can make an argument for Austin Riley.
Well, that's if you think 13 DRS is like legit. Then yeah, but I don't really think that he's going to be a 13 DRS defender again, considering he was negative 10 in 2020, and other metrics don't think that he's also that good. With Moncada, I think Moncada is really, really good. I think he has to be at least top 8. I like his bat a lot, and what's really encouraging about his bat is he still had like I believe 125 WRC plus last season. I'm going to double check that.
For Moncada?
Yeah, Moncada. What do you have?
Yeah, I really like Moncada.
He had a 122 WRC plus last season, a 4.5 F4, and that was with a lack of power, right? And I imagine that power is going to increase. And when you already have a baseline of a 122 WRC plus with very minimal power, like he had a slugging percentage below 400, I believe. If not, it was like right around 400. Then I really do imagine that those numbers are definitely going to go up. And that's why I really like Moncada a lot. I could see him finishing.
He's a massive BABIP merchant.
But he had like a 400 BABIP in 2019. He was like I think okay. that he so also. What's up? I just think he's sustained. I think his performance is gonna get better. I don't think it's just sustainable. I think it'll be even better.
Okay, I want to address that BABIP stuff because, I mean, we have a 26% line drive rate, right? And you're not hitting many. You know, you're hitting a lot of your balls in the air on line drives. I mean, that's how you end up with a high bat. You're hitting a lot of balls that have high probabilities of being hits. I think that obviously a 400 bat pip is not sustainable. But I think it was the second highest of all time behind Tim Anderson. But I think he's just always going to be a high bat pip guy, and that's fine. You know, last year was what, a 4.5 win player according to Fangraphs. Similar on Baseball Reference, and that is in spite of the fact that he had basically, you know, a drastic power outage. Like, he doesn't have to do anything to be a top 10 first baseman. If he is the same, he's going to be a slam dunk to be at least like 7 or 8 on the list. And if he gets better power wise, you know, the White Sox might have another like top 30 player on their team, or top 20 player if he hits for that much power. I think Moncada has to be in the top 10. I debated putting him higher, but I don't think I could justify it realistically. I think I'd maybe put him over Arenado. But, you know, I think that's a toss-up there. As for Arenado, I mean, last year he was what? He was sixth in third baseman F4 amongst anyone playing third base last year. And, you know, he's projected to get a little bit better. Do I think he's going to get a little bit better? No, I think it'll be right around the same. And I don't think many other players are going to get that much better at the position for him to drop that low. Because realistically, you know, Bryant's not going to be doing that much defensively at third, or even playing that much third. Lario, I don't think he's going to take a massive leap. Chapman is probably more washed offensively because of the whiffs. You know, he never really had a strong tool. He had a high whiff rate in the minor leagues, and it's finally translated to the major league level. You know, I think Arenado is kind of underrated at this point, depending on who you talk to. Because it's like, you know, last year, some people, it's like he had a terrible year. He had a 4-win season. Very good player last year.
I don't think anybody said that. I mean, I think Arenado could definitely be a 4-1 player, but I also think the guys ahead of him are definitely 4-1 players as well. And that's where I think it comes down to third base being such a loaded position. In the grand scheme of things, I think the entire top 10 could end up very well having a 4-1 season. I think that's likely.
That most of those guys have.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying, right? So a guy like Arenado, you put him at 9. He has a 4-win season. 9 could be the ninth highest WAR. Put him at 6, it might be like a 4.24. It's going to be very close until I would say the top 1. Like, we kind of know Jose Ramirez is going to be like kind of locked in for at least a 5.5 win season. Everybody else, it could be anywhere from honestly 4 to like even 7. Like, and obviously Ramirez can go higher, but I feel like his floor is going to be around 5.5. And obviously assigning arbitrary numbers with WAR is not necessarily an effective form of analysis, but I just think it's a good rough estimation. Jackson, would you like to justify Chris Bryant being ahead of you on Moncada?
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Well, I think in the overall, from 5 to maybe 12, they're all exceptionally close. So I wouldn't say putting anyone over anyone in that range is me saying that like they're significantly better or anything like that. I think Chris Bryant's a little more established at this point. You kind of know what you're getting. You want Moncada. You know, how sustainable is his offense is a good question. You know, you think there's going to be, you know, an increase of power, but you know, we haven't seen that all that much. I mean, when he does, the whiff rate goes up significantly from what I can remember. So and of course, he had a good offensive season last year, not relative to third basemen, but overall pretty good offensive season. But I'd say Moncada, this is kind of his year for me to prove where he is. I think, you know, a good year could vault him really high into the third baseman rankings. But I like Chris Bryant. Just he's a little more established. Maybe 8's a little too high, but I really don't think differences are they're very marginal at best.
All right. I think we gotta break this difference here. Does Moncada have an MVP in a trophy case? I don't think so.
Can you stop being a biased Cubs fan?
But I also want to say one thing when it comes to that argument about Bryant's stability. If Bryant was so stable, why did reports come out that the Giants straight up didn't have no interest in bringing him back? They don't really like him.
Why is that?
And then on top of that,
he's expensive. Who's the only guy who showed up in the playoffs?
He probably wants $30 million a year.
Right.
He's, he's probably going to get $30 million a year.
Right. But, you know, the Giants don't want to pay that much money.
But teams don't usually go, oh, you're like the Astros didn't say, we're not interested in Carlos Correa after the Astros are clearly.
They're still interested in Carlos Correa.
Okay, but they're not going to pay the price tag for him at all. Like, they're not going to.
They might. You think
they're going to match? You think they're going to match, like, what? $300 million
No. You know who's paying the price tag for Carlos Correa?
Not the Cubs, right? Yeah. Definitely the Cubs.
My point is, do we think, like, do we really think the Astros are going to match $350 million for, like, 10 years or 12 years?
No, obviously not.
Right. No. So, you know, there's
they stay competitive with it. I mean, you know, Carlos Correa, you never know with going back to your home team and all that.
Well, what about Chris Bryant? Chris Bryant's market is more likely to drop, my opinion, because I
okay, think that but Chris Bryant's home team being the Giants and Carlos Correa's home team being the Astros is very different considering
how
they've had the season.
And Bryant has been
there for seven seasons.
No, I'm not saying it's. I'm not saying there's not that sentimental attached to it. What I'm saying is the Chicago Cubs, the Houston Astros are still interested in Carlos Correa. The Giants are not at all interested in Chris Bryant at this point, even if his market drops. That's one. Two, Chris Bryant's offense.
He's older. He's too expensive.
Yes, and he's a regression.
And the Giants don't like to pay money. Like, it's pretty clear that they don't.
Sure
they have. They've never given out a big contract, not under Zaidi. The longest contract they gave out was.
Okay, well, that was because they were bad.
They're probably
also going to have a lot of guys come off the books next year. This year's they're still kind of handicapped a little.
Like, I think they're all just going to continue to sign everyone to 1 or 2 year deals. That's just
all like, I'm saying is there. Chris Bryant and Yoan Moncada had, well, like they were 1 point on from WRC plus one. So if we're going to like say like Chris Bryant, it had
right.
Like,
and I'm saying
like, you know,
I'm saying
off.
they're very similar players. And I rank them. I mean, 8 and 11.
He's playing a 21 ERA. Fuck you. Sorry, Jackson. What did you say?
So, okay. Like, I essentially rank them 8 and 11,
I think,
which is
generally
pretty much
speaking,
nothing.
My list had a little bit more of a overreaction to
Austin
Reed. 21.
Yeah.
I was even tempted to put Manny Machado above Alex Bregman, which I didn't do, but I might change right now. But.
I kind of think that
overall our list looks pretty good. I think
Machado might be a bit overrated. Like, he hits the ball really hard and he plays good defense, but like I'm pretty sure his line rate was pretty low off the top of my head. I don't.
What more is it?
I don't remember. It's off
the top. He had a 20% line drive rate last year.
I'm thinking of a different. Probably.
Okay. The player I want to talk about for like 2 seconds is Justin Turner's weird. Like, he's weird. Like, I think the offense is very clear. Like, he could go out and put up a 130 WRC plot. Fuck you, James.
What?
Fuck you.
What?
Yeah. Who played? Wait, was that James?
I played it the first time. And then Jack played it the second time. Dylan sent it to SDNR.
Why? What did I do? Okay. Anyways, just like Justin Turner's defense has gotten worse over the last few years, which sucks for him. But his off like do we really think he's gonna be like, I don't know how to feel about him. I think he's like Josh Donaldson, but like Josh Donaldson's a little more underrated. But at the same time, he'd go out of like a 4.5 win season and put himself in like the top 6 or 7. But he's older, so like I can't justify putting him much higher and think he's gonna just outperform. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how to feel about Justin Turner coming into next year because I feel like I could be too low on him because of the aging curve, and I know projections are really harsh on guys like that and a little bit too harsh at times. But it's gotta drop. The other foot's gotta drop at some point, right? Like, he's gonna like not be. What, he was 7th in F4 for third baseman last year out of everyone who played third base. I don't really think that sustained itself. I didn't put him at 7, so that's me telling you. I don't think it's going to sustain itself. Did anyone here leave him off the top 10? Because
no.
I don't know if I remember.
It was 9, 10, 10, 10.
Yeah, so we have them all like Turner at the bottom of our top 10. So I'm not like disagreeing. I agree with it, but I'm just, I don't know how to feel about him. He's weird.
Okay, so what I realized is that when I played the 21 ERA video, I meant to mute myself, but instead I muted my computer. So you heard me and I didn't hear you.
Good job, Jason.
So I think I was just talking and you guys, and I was waiting for someone to say something, but what I was saying was, generally speaking, my list is very much 2021 based.
Yeah, like, that's really bad.
It appears.
That's why it's a terrible list.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Josh Donaldson hammers the ball. Dude, I think he's the guy you're talking about, that he hits the shit out of the ball and has like he has a 17.1% line drive rate this year, and last year in 2020, small sample size was 10.3%. But he hammers the ball.
Yeah, that's pretty true. That's why I like Donaldson a lot. I think Donaldson's really good.
Jack had Donaldson.
None of us
had him on the list.
Okay, I didn't have him on the list, but I think I said I would, like, I think it's possible. I would not mind exchange. Like, I think the difference between him, Justin Turner, and Matt Chapman and Austin. Well, Austin Riley's weird. I don't know how to feel about him. But the difference between, like, him and Justin Turner is marginal for me offensively. The problem is defensively. The problem is Donaldson's just an awful defender. Like, he's god-awful last year. Really, I don't know if that's... Yeah. Well, I mean, in DRS, no. But in UZR per 150, he was awful. And I think in OAA, he was bad. I'm not sure. No, whoa. I said and in OAA, I think he's bad, but I'm not sure.
And you're an OAA guy.
I didn't say I was an OAA guy.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
All right. I have made a change to my list.
I think also you have to just watch the games. And Donaldson's a really good fielder over there. So.
Okay. Well, if you watch the games, all I see is that he called out Garrett Cole. He's a fucking loser. So,
yeah. And Garrett Cole's his father, but it doesn't mean he's not bad.
I broke the tie because this is gonna piss me off that Rendon and Bregman were tied. So Machado's second, Bregman.
Why? No, don't. Why would you throw Machado over Bregman?
Like, Machado being second is just crazy. Like, who the fuck?
That's, he's not better than Bregman. That's
why. Why is Machado not?
I think we're overreacting.
I told you why he's second. It's to break the tie.
That's racist. You're just racist.
Jackson, let me ask you a question here. This is for Jackson only. Nobody else can answer.
Okay.
Jackson. How do you feel about Rendon going into next season?
Well, he was hurt, right, all last year, pretty much.
Almost all.
So it's kind of a toss-up. I'd say, just based on his priors, that I'd be pretty confident overall. Obviously, I don't know his injury status or anything like that, or I'm not his doctor, so I can't tell you how that's progressing. But I'd say, just based on if he's healthy, I'd be very confident in Anthony Rendon having a good season. If he's not healthy, I'd be very unconfident in that happening.
Okay, I am his doctor. And
thanks, Dr. Valentine.
And so for that reason, I believe that he's not ready to go, you know. And Manny Machado, the last two seasons, has put up 7 wins. He plays almost every day. Gotta love that. He hasn't missed more than 10 games since 2014. Plays every day.
He's nice with it too.
Yeah,
he has yet to post season. Well, I know 2020.
Okay,
it's unfortunate, but he's yet to post a season since 2019, where he's a 5-win player.
We're projecting 2022. I get that. We are projecting, correct?
We are making a guess. We're throwing a dart against the wall, hoping we're throwing shit against the wall, hoping it sticks. That's what you're saying.
Max Greenfield expression,
huh?
We are projecting.
Well, what's his expression?
Nothing. He was just saying that. It's not actually his expression. It's a very common expression.
Oh, okay.
And in 2022, which is an even year, that matters.
Dude, come on. Don't give me that shit. That's like...
Machado is a 6-win player next year.
Okay.
Okay.
I have a question for you,
Make
James.
Make the bet, Jack.
James, I have a question for you.
What?
Okay, so if Manny Machado is the second best third baseman in all of baseball, right? Why has Manny Machado not been the second best third baseman in baseball since basically 2018? Why is he not projected to be the second? Like, there's no statistical evidence that concludes that he's the second best third baseman in baseball. None.
He's not. I literally told you. I only I only put him there to break a tie. You only
specifically break a tie? What the fuck is wrong with you?
But you think it's close enough. You think it's arguable. Oh, it's not.
I think it's arguable.
No.
I think it's arguable.
It is definitely not.
He's a very good defender. And he hits the ball.
I can't believe I'm slandering Manny Machado because I can't fucking believe you, man.
Because of me? I love Manny Machado. Yes.
Because of you. Simply because of you. You exist. I must now have to oppose you.
Manny Machado has...
I love him too much.
In the last two seasons, has, 13 DRS and 7.9 UZR. His OA is, I think, even better. He's just one of those guys, you know, he's got that great glove, and he's like the last two seasons, he's the 130 WRC plus hitter. He's projected 127. I feel like Steamer's really high. Bregman's a guy I like, but I think Steamer's really high on him.
I wonder why that is. Next season. I would argue, you know what? I'm going to make an argument here. I would argue Steamer is even low on Bregman.
About that?
How?
He's, I think it's pretty good.
139 WRC plus and 5 WAR.
Incoming hot take. Alex Bregman with the bitch boy wall. He's gonna have like a 6-1 season. Here.
Well, let's remember, Alex Bregman but has like some of the best
that
play.
Same wall the last two.
Okay. Yeah, well, okay. First off, James, you're using a 580 play appearance sample size to justify a player who's been very injured over the last 2 years, and even in 2020 had a
580 is a full season.
Yes, James, I understand that, but what we've already talked about how one season does not determine how good a player is. We've discussed this. I feel like if it was that, if you were going to just do that, which none of us did, even you didn't do that, and you. Like, do you think that Rafael Devers is going to just say, what?
This tweet that Jackson tweeted is very funny.
I did not tweet that.
That's Jack. Jack's
a Jack tweet.
Oh, that's a Jack tweet. it sounded like a Jackson thing to say.
Do you think Julio Urias is the 12th best third baseman in baseball next year?
Julio Urias? Do you mean
yes. Julio Urias?
Luis. Fuck.
No, I don't think Luis Urias is the top.
Well, it's Luis Urias.
I would not throw that out.
Do you mean Ramon?
No, Luis.
Luis Urias. The third baseman of the Milwaukee Brewers.
Right. Well, but why I'm asking you this, James, is if you don't think that's going to happen, right? If you don't think that's 100%. Or not 100. If you're not confident enough to put him at, like, you're like, my point is, if you're gonna rank your list one way and say, you know, we're gonna just take into account one season and that matters the most, then I can get ranking Alex Bregman out.
I think you have to say that one season matters the most. I don't think I don't think it's the only thing that matters, but I definitely think it matters more than other seasons, considering it's the most recent one.
Correct. However, that. The
season before that was 60 games, so now it matters more.
Right, I'm not saying it doesn't matter more
than it would normally.
I'm just saying it can't be your sole use of evidence for how good a player is.
No, of course.
And that's kind of the point I'm getting at. You know, this is 580 plate appearances, in which in 180 of them, Alex, you know, 2020 Alex, not as good as the 2019 numbers, but was still a pretty good baseball player. It was really 2021 that his first year not being as good as he should be in order to be a, you know, in order for you to believe that he could still be a good baseball player. I'm not saying it's a lock.
I think James believes he's still a good baseball player. I don't think that's
not good. I'm sorry.
There's nothing here that's telling you that Alex Bregman is not a good baseball player, Ryan.
I think the difference between like 4-3 is not that high. Not that like much of a difference.
I think it's big enough to say that Bregman should be ahead of Machado. I don't think it's big enough to say that Alex Bregman is like 20 spots ahead of Machado. But Alex Bregman is, in my opinion, better enough to be like. It's the same reason why I'm not, like I don't like I question your Bryant over Moncada take, because I think that Moncada is better enough that you can't justify having
better in what
over Moncada. Like, what I think
he,
there's
what's he better at?
Well, there's an offensive player. He's better defensively. He's a pretty good base runner as well.
Is he better offense?
Yes. No, I think he's better
offensively. Then why doesn't he hit better?
Whoa, time out. I didn't say he was. I said he was better defensively. I said they're roughly around the same offensive.
He's better defensively, then why doesn't he defend him?
Does he not?
Because Bryant plays multiple positions. I mean, that's valuable.
That is valuable. Bryant we're talking not, about their basement. Like every. And he also is a bad defender. Like, he's like awful in the outfield. He's awful in the outfield. Like terrible. Like versatility. Right, and it saves roster spots. I get that. That's value that you can't quantify in defensive metrics because of that, right? But, you know, I think there are just some cases where, and I'm going to cite Moncada and Bregman as two of them, in which players are better enough that the argument isn't very good for another player, at, like Machado or Bryant, to be ahead of them. I think that at this point, you know, Bryant at least is more name recognition. If you took away the name from the production doesn't seem nearly as impressive because Bryant was once, you know, had like a 20 WAR start to his career.
In like three seasons.
Yeah, whereas Moncada, you know, started out and he's kind of a prospect still trying to figure it out because, you know, he was like the top guy in baseball and he struggled for a bit in Chicago, got traded from the Red Sox. You know, now he's piecing it all together in a rough 2020 season. You know, I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair to either Moncada or Bregman at this point, you know, to start knocking them down too much. Because I think we're reacting a little too harshly to some of their struggles. Or Moncada struggles in 2020. Bregman struggles in 2021. That's enough of me talking before I, you know, embarrass myself further. Because that was very well, not well spoken.
You know, it's okay. Is there anything else that we have objections with this list?
I have objections with your height. You are 5'2".
I'm literally taller than you. I have proof that I'm taller than you. You know I'm taller than you.
You have pictures together.
And bro, this guy, he's like, he met me. He was like, oh, I thought you were going to be like a midget. And I was like, actually, I was lying about my height. He's like, oh, I thought you were lying about your height. And I was like, no.
Okay.
All right, let's
I think that the reason why... okay, and this is coming from someone who thought that Alex Bregman at one point was the third best player in baseball. He just forgot how to hit. Plain and simple. I know he was hurt, but in 2020 he wasn't really hurt, and he still didn't hit.
Well, I mean, he has some, you know, his line drive rate dropped, his ground ball rate shot up from 2019 compared to 2021. His power is obviously not even that. Like, the power is even that fast.
Oh, his power is in the gutter. Like,
okay, I think that's an exact. Like,
his slugging percentage is down 100 points. And from 2019 to 2021, it's down 170
points. Yes, but I'm not disagreeing with you there. I'm simply saying that it's not like Bregman's hitting the ball a lot softer or not barreling the ball as much. He's doing both those things at a similar rate. I just think it's a matter of the type of batted ball split.
He's just doing it into the ground.
Yeah, that's the problem. But that's not like that
doesn't help you at all.
Right, not objecting there. I just don't think it's like something that I don't think it's different. I think that's a lot not better, obviously, but that's a lot different from like Gleyber Torres suddenly hitting the ball at 87 miles per hour from like 89, which is not a huge decrease on paper, but like when you look into it, that is a pretty big decrease. Like, I think it's a little different.
Well, if he can't hit the ball in the air, it's not going to matter how hard he hits it.
I feel like it doesn't matter how hard Alex Bregman hits the ball, because the only way Alex Bregman is good is when he's just jamming little soft line drives and fucking pop ups to the Crawford boxes.
Okay.
And if he can't do that, then he's not very good. So
yeah, that's why he had a 186 WRC plus on the road in 2019. The 126 WRC plus on the road in 2020 was bad at.
That's because they were fucking cheating.
In 2019, they were cheating. Wait, tell me. Yeah. Run that back. Please say that again.
The Houston Astros were cheating until they got caught.
Okay, so they should keep that makes that's that explains why Alex Bregman has a better career road WRC plus and home WRC plus by nearly 10 points. That explains
they
that.
Could cheat. You act like they couldn't cheat on the road, Ryan.
No, I actually listened
to a podcast where some Astros guys from time out they were cheating on the road. Not players. Like,
I forgot what are you talking about? Question: Has Mike? Do you think maybe if Mike Trout like cared more about baseball, he'd start cheating so like the Angels could be better? Like, you know, Alex Bregman cares a lot more about baseball. Like, you know, he doesn't go out there and jog to first base and get hurt. You know, that's something that losers like Mike Trout do, not winners like Alex Bregman. That's why he has a ring on his finger. Mike Trout doesn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I definitely feel that.
Yeah.
For sure.
Okay. Let's move on. We're done.
All right, what are we moving on to? We want to talk
about Let's read the new list because I made my changes.
All right.
Oh, my God.
All right. 1, Ramirez. 2, Rendon. 3, Bregman. 4, Machado. 5, Devery. 6, Arenado. 7, Moncada. 8, Riley. 9. What?
This picture that somebody... Who was on the account?
That's me. I don't know why that guy asked. The guy asked, so which one is MLB nerd? So I just zoomed in on Jack. I mean, like, real far.
I've done so many live streams. Motherfuckers know by now. I literally said I'm MLB nerd in the podcast. In the intro, I'm like, my name is Jack. You can find my name on Instagram. Nerds. What the fuck? These motherfuckers, they don't listen to the podcast. Like,
you're not MLB nerds. No, but
the thing is, like, you don't know which one's which when...
I should have just zoomed in on James.
You're just not that guy, Tom. This like middle-aged man was like once talking shit to me, and he like showed me a picture of James. Oh my god, you're a creepy person.
What did you say?
He, this guy, like a 50-year-old, he called me a creepy person. He took a picture of you. You're like, that was fucking hilarious.
He took a picture of the most terroristic person you can think of, and that was James. Whoa.
All right,
thanks,
moving on.
What are we moving on to?
Oh, you want to talk about how Baltimore moved their fences back because they can't.
Fuck Baltimore, yeah, that's man. Fucking whack. Like, that's just because they need better pitching. They need to look like they're doing better. Like, that's so
sad. But John
Means. Dude, Callagai Shook is going to hit, like. Yeah, probably. Dude, when Callagai Shook hits a 360-foot fly ball to left field that doesn't go out, I'm going to cry myself.
I don't get why more teams don't do that. Like, if I'm a team in free agency, just say, for example, perfect example, Marcus Semien was a free agent this offseason, right? I don't see why some teams as a bargaining chip wanted to say, I'll sign you and I'll move my fences in left field in 45 feet and just do it. Because they can. Nothing's stopping them.
Well, Fenway, you can't. Because it's like a national landmark. Like, they can't, like, adjust that kind of stuff.
Oh, some parks you can't, but like.
Okay.
I don't think you're good at Wrigley.
Who's going to sign with you if you're constantly changing your park conditions to favor your hitters or your pitchers? Who's going to sign long term with you? Like,
everyone. Why would you not want to sign with a team that's making it better for you?
Okay, so when Marcus Semien signs with the Rangers and they move left field in and John Gray goes and signs with the Rangers, how do you think it's going to feel about fucking playing in a park where left field's a literal bandbox? Like, that's not like you. A pitcher just wouldn't sign there. A pitcher's not signing there.
Fair enough.
Who
cares about pitches when you have Marcus Semien?
Who cares about pitches when you have a aging, regressing second baseman?
Can you kick him out of the call?
Fuck off. Please don't. Please don't. Please don't.
Just all right, we're done. I don't know what Jack's doing. Unless you have questions, let's just like get out of here.
Jack is cooking up some terrible narrative currently.
All right. All right, I'll outro the podcast. So, all
right, where the fuck is Jack at all?
Thanks everyone for listening to episode 50. I think we're on 50, which is a pretty cool number.
Yeah, when we get to 100, we're gonna do something cool, right? Like, yeah,
sure.
We are on. That is the wrong show. That is not our show. We are on episode 50. Top 10 third bases. That would be the name of this episode. Thank you all for listening. Jack, and welcome back.
Drive to left field by Castellanos, and we will see you in episode number 50.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.